We are recording.
Thank you very much. Good morning and welcome to the Leon County Research and Development Authority Board of Governors meeting. Today's date, February 13, 2020. The time is 11:07. We would like to officially call the meeting to order and start next with an introduction of guests. Okay. Yes.
Yes. Our guest from Blueprint.
Yep. My name is Autumn Calder. I'm the director of Blueprint, and we're going to do a presentation today on the Airport Gateway Project.
Very good.
Okay. And I'm Abraham Prado. I am a project manager with Blueprint, and I am the project manager for the Airport Gateway Project.
Very good. Are there any modifications to the agenda? None? Okay. Public comment? None. And approval of draft meeting minutes from January 31, and they're included as an attachment, and I trust that you have the opportunity to review them. And if you have, then we would move to entertain a motion on that. Okay.
Order.
Okay, it's been properly motioned and seconded approval of the minutes from January 31st. All in favor, acknowledge aye.
Aye.
Opposition? Motion carries. We have before us the consent agenda. Are there any items that need to be pulled? If not, we will move forward with that agenda and would, of course, have to have a motion on it.
So moved.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
Okay, properly motion again to accept the consent agenda as presented. All those in favor, please acknowledge with the sign aye.
Aye.
Opposition? None. Motion carries. And that brings us to our guests. Well, let's go ahead and kick it off with the presentation.
Great, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you guys for having us come out today. Blueprint has initiated more of a strategy to talk to our primary project stakeholders, of which we consider the LCRDA one of those for the Airport Gateway Project, a strategy to connect with our primary project stakeholders before, during, and after our projects. And this would be an example of kind of a before meeting. That strategy, we're calling our GAP presentations to stakeholders. Yeah, because Blueprint projects can take years. We were just talking yesterday about how the Capital Circle Northwest-Southwest project took 5 years to construct. So that doesn't even take into account the planning and the design, all the years to do that. But you know, sometimes you can do an entire two terms on a citizen committee or board and see a project not even completed. So the Airport Gateway project is probably one of our most complex Blueprint 2020 projects. And we're just really beginning it this year. But there has been some work that's been completed on the project over the last couple of years by separate agencies, and we'll share a little bit about that today. Some work by the city and the county and the area. So different things have happened since we last met with this group in 2017. When we met in 2017, it was really to talk about a potential amendment to the Airport Gateway project, and we'll come along with some of that. Just a quick reminder, it's always good to give a little bit of a background about Blueprint. I'm sure many of you are aware that the first local option penny sales tax in this community was started in 1989, directly to the city and the county, 50-50. And then a citizen group thought of an idea to create a separate agency to implement the projects that are funded by our local option penny sales tax. And that idea was to create the Blueprint Agency. Blueprint 2000 was started in 2000 and funded by an extension of the penny sales tax that went from 2004 to 2019. So we actually collected our last cent from December 31st of 2019 on the Blueprint 2000 program. So we're now officially in Blueprint 2020. That began on January 1st of this year. It's exciting. The sales tax was extended from 2020 to 2039, and that was the projects that will be funded by that extension were conceived and refined, and then by another citizen-led committee called the Sales Tax Committee. And they met in 2012 through 2014, and they submitted a list of projects which were then approved and refined again by our Intergovernmental Agency Board, which is made up of all the city commissioners and all the county commissioners sitting in that one body. And Commissioner Dozier sits on that board. And you were there at that time, so you were part of that. So now we are in the phase where we're actually implementing those projects and important. One thing that was unique that you guys I know all about is the creation of the Office of Economic Vitality as a part of the Blueprint program, dedicating a 12% of the sales tax revenues to economic vitality projects. And that's a really creative thing. That is something that I don't think a lot of communities are doing, where they're actually tying under the same roof the infrastructure investments with economic vitality. I think they're seen as two separate. I mean, usually you've got public works, you know, which is very far removed from economic development. But in this case, we've seen wonderful examples of where infrastructure projects, like putting a box culvert under South Monroe, opens up new opportunities for redevelopment, like we see like with the Fruit building and other things going on along the corridor. I love the pictures.
That's a remarkable picture.
Yeah,
really, it's gorgeous.
I know, because we forget. It's amazing. I mean, it's even hard to imagine what it was like before Cascades Park. You know, you have to sort of make a mental Franklin Boulevard. You know, we know those. We remember. We've been here for a long time, but now when you drive down it or you go to Cascades, you kind of say, oh, I don't even remember what this was like. So Blueprint 2020, as I mentioned, community driven through the sales tax committee, voters approved over 60%, 12% economic vitality, $1.2 billion economic impact, thousands of jobs created and will be created, 27 infrastructure projects, and $714 million going to infrastructure. We did numbers today and looked at our most recent sales tax revenue expectations, and over $1 billion for 100% of those sales tax revenues. Now, infrastructure gets 66% of that, OEV gets 12%, 10% city, 10% county, but what's it, $1,031,000,000 in sales tax revenues over that 20-year period, based on our estimates today. Yeah. What a gift to our community. So let's jump into the airport gateway, and some of our objective today is to give you a refresher on the project, but also to hear any concerns, ideas, opportunities that you as a board might have and how you want to interplay with this project. The alignment was changed in 2018. Originally, it was just Lake Bradford Road and Spring Hill Road. The addition of the Stuckey Avenue improvements, the new road through the FSU campus, portion of Orange Avenue and South Lake Bradford. So providing a network of roads that you can choose to get from the airport to our downtown and to the universities. The blueprint share is $58 million. FSU has a contribution of, was it $2 or $3 million cash?
$2 million.
$2 million cash, and then the rest of that $9 million is made up through right-of-way donation. And then FDOT, $12 million, that goes towards the Orange Avenue improvements. So going from two lanes to four on Orange Avenue and two roundabouts. So we envision as you're entering up just west of Potsdamer, you're coming off of a roundabout into Innovation Park area. So a seamless connection versus a stoplight condition.
Where's the other roundabout?
The other roundabout would be the South Lake Bradford and near Paul Direct.
So they're back to considering that?
They are considering it, yeah. DOT will, of course, be making the final decisions. That is a DOT road. They have a PD&E study that's underway now, and it does show that there's a need for more laning in that segment, and they're also considering the roundabouts. We'll want to, now they don't have any funding identified for construction for Orange Avenue, so it may be a case where Blueprint has to provide the funding for the roundabout in advance of DOT, but we're working towards that. We'd love to be able to see some type of reimbursement of those funds from DOT.
Can you just point to where you're talking about? Looking at this from a distance,
there's
hard
a pointer on that, but it's
And we did bring a map too.
There's a pointer on the
help a little bit too. Similar. So here at Paul Dirac, South Lake Bradford, and here Orange Avenue, New Road, which doesn't have a name.
But in terms of how it affects us, it's still, it's this boundary.
Yes, yes. That is the, there's a swath, I think it's around 200 to 300 feet wide, but that would generally be the area where that new road would go.
Okay.
The old solid red and the solid green would become four lane?
Do you want to answer that?
I'm sorry, what was the question?
No.
The solid red part. And the green part extending down to
the new road
south Lake Bradford. All of that would become four lane?
No. So the immediate thought is South Lake Bradford to maintain the sort of rural characteristics of the roadway. So it's intended to be a two-lane road. appropriate lighting for it, swales, roadway swales rather than curb and gutter. The section, the red, is yet to be determined specifically what that will look like, but it, that is envisioned to be more of your typical curb and gutter, median, whether it's a two or a four lane, it's still to be worked out.
And you envision leaving the speed bumps on Lake Bradford?
So one of the things we want to have our consultants look at is ways to address traffic calming without necessarily maintaining the speed bumps, whether that's roundabouts, whether, you know, that's narrowing of their lanes width. We want to explore those options, whether that's pavement markings, you know, whether it's stamped asphalt at the crosswalks or things like that. We want to explore different ways that we can meet that traffic calming requirement without necessarily being, you know, saying it is going to be speed bumps.
Yep.
Yeah. Commissioner Dodge, you got it.
It's probably fine. I just want to, the colors are the different segments. It's probably pretty small to see that legend, but isn't that right that the colors are segments, not road type?
That is correct.
Yeah.
So those are just the segments, and we'll get a little bit further into some of those segments and phasing of those segments as we continue. Mm-hmm.
And we do have a name for the road, the new road.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, Innovation Parkway.
Innovation Parkway.
Michael's idea.
On behalf of the Innovation Park Board, I did mention that at a blueprint meeting at the direction of the school board, and it's just out there right now. We'll put it out there. We get a lot more decisions to make before then, but Kevin Graham is aware that, anyway, I'll leave it there.
Okay, so generally the project goals, it's got to be a gateway to and from our airport for our downtown. It's got to be beautiful, right? It's got to be seamless. It has to flow and feel good and get you excited about coming and sad for leaving Tallahassee. Expanding investment in Southwest Tallahassee, like all blueprint projects, how can this infrastructure project revitalize and encourage context-sensitive development? Growth of the local high-tech sector is very much related to this group. You know, so how can this project best meet the goals of the growth of the high-tech sector in the Innovation Park, but also the research and development that's coming out of the universities? Neighborhood safety, that really goes into the multimodal improvements in the neighborhoods. There are at least five neighborhoods that this project as a whole touches directly. There are more in the area. So lighting, multimodal improvements, access to transit, working with the neighborhoods to make sure that the improvements in this project are, again, sensitive to the concerns and desires of the neighborhoods. Transportation network, that's getting more to the access management. We're working with DOT now on an access management study for the North Lake Bradford area. So there's that suicide lane in the middle, so maybe adding some medians in there. That'll also help us with our gateway aesthetic. Levy and Potsdamer, you know, what happens with those roads? Is that something where we can return Levy back to a neighborhood road and take that main thoroughfare out of Providence neighborhood and move it up to Stuckey? So working with the neighborhood there. And then lastly, the physical connections between the universities. So how can we make that seamless connection between FAMU Way, getting people over Lake Bradford Road and up Stuckey, and of course the growth that FSU sees in this area?
Have you, speaking of FSU and growth, how far along is FSU now with their master plan in terms of what they're looking at for that, particularly the new section?
Well, I think that Mark Bertolami is going to retire in a year, and I think his goal is to get that wrapped up before he retires. So I would say, I think this year they're going to be substantially done with it, with maybe approval next spring. But
I've been to a couple meetings to see how they're progressing, but I didn't know what the outcome's going to be.
Yeah, they hired a great a consultant team to help with some of that business.
Perkins and Wilde.
Yeah, I saw one of their presentations on the meeting. So this project just shows the funding stream for the Airport Gateway Project, fully funded in the next 5 years, in fact, by 2022. Doesn't necessarily mean it'll be finished in 2022. In fact, we actually anticipate that to be the first year of construction of what would be a multi-year construction project. But as you can see, the dedication from the intergovernmental agency is there to do this project and complete it and do it well. And next, I'm going to turn it over to Abe to talk about the implementation.
Great. So this gets back to the color question. So this is our project implementation. So the project's essentially split up into different segments, A through G. And It's about 7 miles, as Adam mentioned. In an ideal world, we'd like to just get it all done, pull off the Band-Aid. However, given the intricacies of the project and the multiple corridors we're impacting, we've developed a phasing plan that allows us to maintain access to the airport while still working on other segments of the airport gateway. So this is our phase one segment, which is improvements to Spring Hill Road, the new roadway, Stuckey Avenue, and the Orange Avenue intersection with the new roadway. So as Autumn mentioned, whether, you know, that if DOT's not ready, we'll obviously be possibly ahead of them. So we would implement that intersection improvement there, the new roadway and Orange Avenue, and look for funding from DOT at a future date. And really, the improvements here along Spring Hill focus, again, on creating that gateway. Signage is going to be key for this phase of the project. So one of the objectives of working on Spring Hill first is to set the mentality that that is our gateway into downtown Tallahassee from the airport. So we're going to have signage directing traffic towards that way. We're going to reserve the right-of-way for the future four-lane expansion of Spring Hill. One of the items we'll discuss later is some of the work that has already been done, but based on the work that was done by the Capital Region Transportation Agency and their Southwest Area Transportation Plan, that's not warranted necessarily within the next 20 years, but we want to go ahead and plan for it. So we're going to reserve that right-of-way. Along with that, we're going to obviously build the new roadway. We're going to build improvements to Stuckey Avenue, yet to be determined what those are, but certainly take into consideration the possible increase in traffic and the multimodal component of the roadway. And again, the improvements at Orange Avenue itself. So that's phase one, which has got, as Adam mentioned, a start date of approximately 2022, 2023, depending on right-of-way acquisition. And then after that, we'll move on to phase two, which is the Lake Bradford corridor. You know, so by this point, you'll have Spring Hill accessible down to the airport. Whether you come in off of Orange Avenue or through Stuckey and the new roadway, you'll have a parallel route that you can take to the airport while Lake Bradford is under construction. So again, just being mindful of all the construction activities that are going to be going on. Again, Lake Bradford improvements, medians, landscaping, signage. One of the items we want to work with the neighborhoods in that corridor is also neighborhood identification, you know, not only for an aesthetic purpose, but also to make residents and travelers aware that you're entering a neighborhood area so that you slow down some by making aware that this is a residential community. There are people that live here. But again, access management is going to be one of the key components of that segment of the corridor there, is making sure we get rid of the suicide lane and improve safety. And then that will roll us into segment three, which is the South Lake Bradford corridor, which again, the objective there is to maintain that rural characteristic of the road while maintaining the safe component of traffic. You know, one of the things we've heard is traffic through there, speeding through there, so we want to make sure we're sensitive to that, and we want to try to address that in creative ways more than just the traditional speed bump or, you know, traffic tables, whichever term you're so feeling. And again, the intersection improvement at South Lake Bradford and Orange Avenue will complete the gateway component there. This also has a signage component with the neighborhood. We want to make sure, again, that as you travel along the South Lake Bradford, you're not feeling necessarily that it's a speedway, but rather a roadway through residential neighborhoods in that area. So that's also one of the key components we want to make sure we address as you go through that area. So these are some of the interactions with this project. As Autumn mentioned, it's a big project, so we've got a lot of participants involved in it. We've got the Southwest Area Transportation Plan that laid out some of the framework for it. That was a joint partnership between the Blueprint and Capital Region Transportation Agency. We've got Capital Cascades Segment 4 that runs through there. That's, again, the continuation of the Capital Cascades corridor coming down south with stormwater improvements, some enhanced amenities. We think that will sort of partner well with the corridor of Lake Bradford, bringing both the infrastructure component and sort of the lifestyle component with the parks and linear infrastructure. The University Greenway providing a connection from the Debbie Lightsey Nature Park over to Innovation Park and to the College of Engineering and everything in between, the sports complex FSU has down there. The airport, you know, there's a lot of planned improvements for the airport. We certainly want to partner with them and take them into consideration. We want to make sure we're thinking ahead about what their plans are, what their needs are, so we can make sure we incorporate it. We're building a gateway to the airport. We obviously feel it's important to incorporate the airport as they're one of the key stakeholders. The growth of Innovation Park, you know, obviously one of the goals of this project is to increase visibility and access to Innovation Park. So we're here today specifically to address that and to make you aware we're still here. This project's still going forward. But, you know, again, Project Juggernaut, you know, if you have, you know, Not that it'll make all the difference, but a dedicated entryway actually increased visibility. It may just be the little extra hump to make the decision easier as the decisions are being made. And then, of course, neighborhood plans. I would mention we had at least 5 dedicated neighborhoods. We want to take their input into account. We want to make sure we address their needs, their concerns, and work around them. They're just as important as all the other entities in here. You know, supply of housing in those neighborhoods is obviously a key component we'll be looking at as we start looking at making decisions about what the project looked like and what their needs are from a multimodal component. It's obviously a key component we're looking at. So our next steps. We're working on finalizing our proposal right now. We just got our legal team to review it, so hopefully within the next 30, 60 days, it'll be published, and we'll start soliciting for a consulting team. And we call it a consulting team because it's not just engineering. Again, we're not just looking at here's the road, here's how many lanes it's going to be. We really want to look at it holistically. Again, neighborhoods, their needs, their wants, the impacts associated with it, multimodal components, and taking into consideration, again, all the items we discussed, signage, and what makes the most sense from a transportation perspective and safety improvements. Our gap communication, as Adam mentioned, and one of the items is this project's sent to drag for a while. It's just the nature of the beast. You know, it's hot today, and a year goes by before it becomes hot again, and then people tend to think, wait, are you trying to sneak something past us? What's happened? We haven't heard from you in a year, and now here we are. So we want to reach out and make sure during that lag period, we fill in and we reach out to the communities and to the interested parties. And just remind them, we're here. We got this project coming. Nothing fancy, you know, no fancy picture, nothing like that, but just keep everybody focused on the project.
And sometimes it's just participating in neighborhood meetings, just going, being there, being present if any questions come up. We started attending the Providence neighborhood meetings and looking forward to just keeping that up.
So we expect to have our consulting team in the summer of 2020. They'll help us develop all those pretty pictures on our public involvement plan. Which then kicks up, once we've got our consulting team, we can go back to commencing those preliminary studies. Data collection. What does the traffic look like? What are the demands for the multimodal users? You know, pedestrians, accidents, all of that is just going to get collected and analyzed so that we can make intelligent decisions as to what is needed as we undertake this project. Public involvement plan. Again, we've got a lot of interested parties. We want to make sure everybody's informed and everybody has an opportunity to give their input into this, whether it's neighborhoods, whether it's this board, whether it's the airport. We want to make sure that everybody has a say at the table and can provide input so that as we make this large investment to the community, we don't look back 5 years later and go, oops, we forgot this. We want to make sure we get as much of that as possible, so we do it once, we do it right. And then once we do that, we'll take all that data, all that public involvement, and we'll start developing concepts. And that's where the pretty pictures come in. You know, here's what it could look like. Here's this rendering if you choose option A. Here's a rendering if you choose option B. Here's the pros. Here's the cons. Again, that will help us collect additional feedback, additional data, so we can, once again, make an intelligent decision to evaluate those alternatives. You know, it's great if we say, oh, we want, you know, this road to be 6 lanes with a 100-foot wide median and, you know, 1,000 trees in the middle. Well, here's what that means as we start evaluating those alternatives. Here's the impact of that versus a 2-lane with a median. So those are, again, we'll evaluate all of that and make an educated decision based on all the feedback and all the data we've collected from all the interested parties.
Well, let's just take this actually to the end. So, you know, kind of going back, are there any concerns that you guys have? Or do you see any opportunities that this might provide? And on this front side, let's help them incorporate those.
Yeah. Well, as you just said, I certainly haven't been thinking about this for a long time, and now I'm thinking about it. I don't remember half of what I knew before. I think one of our big interests is always going to be visibility and an entrance, and you just alluded to that. Again, I have to reorient myself as to where the obvious points for that might be. And the good movement of whatever in this area is absolutely to our benefit, you know, so that all makes sense to me. I'm curious about, in the time that FAMU Way has been open and being used, do people seem to be happy with how that is working in terms of traffic, in terms of speeding, any complaints, any...
That being a city project, I'm not as familiar with the feedback that they've received from the community. from my experiences, it's certainly a new east-west cut through. You know, mm-hmm. I think that once that last leg connecting to Lake Bradford is completed, I think people are going to really see that as an extension of downtown, and continue to use it more and more as Gay Street gets more and more.
Well, my take on it mm-hmm. is exactly that. I mean, that's my preferred route to the airport now, yeah. always. I love driving on that road. I think it's fun. I'm aware of the Lake Bradford residents group that is, you know, very vocal about what they want. But, you know, in my view, the speed bumps are just, that's a non-starter in terms of what we are all looking for. But something like FAMU Way, where you get a lot of, you know, that tends to slow you down, you know, and it's fun. And it would not involve making the road bigger. You know, it would hopefully address some of their concerns.
Yeah, I think they're open to that. Well, I was at the neighborhood meeting in South Bradford when we talked about that through the Southwest Area Transportation Plan, and I'm sure the CRTVA probably did a presentation over here with you guys, or at least met.
I've met with them.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. I've never seen that. So, and the neighborhood was they liked the idea of these smaller roundabouts mm-hmm. at maybe one or two key intersections within the road, mm-hmm. and then the narrowing of the road, because right now it has a really wide shoulder, and
yep.
it lends itself to speeding, and that's one of their biggest concerns is the speeding in the cut-through traffic that they
right.
perceive. So they like the idea of narrowing it up, you know, seeing if we can add a little bit of extra curve in there to kind of slow you down. So they were in favor of the improvement that was suggested to the Southwest Area Transportation Plan at that public meeting, and it did not include the speed bumps. So we think we're going to start
good.
That out in a positive way. They did ask that road be constructed last through the Airport Gateway Project, and in our sequencing reflects it.
Let me applaud you on your proposal to have a lot of community involvement and participation. I have found through the years involved in a lot of things that the more communications you have with more people on the front end resolves an awful lot of aggravation on the back end. I encourage that. I think it's wonderful. The workshops you've had in the past, Blueprints had many, many, many of them. I think you're on the right track. I really like the fact that we're getting this thing closer to the airport. I'm really supportive of the mayor's plan to make that airport more into an industrial zone as well. I just, I'm fully behind this project. Thank you for your presentation.
Thanks, Dave.
Ron. Yeah, one comment and a question. The comment is, if you look at four-laning any roads, I don't recommend they be as windy as the South Baldrock. That line from the road that parallels the golf course, what I call South Baldrock, is much curvier than that. And it's four lane, and basically people just drive straight.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not me, of course. and they drive very fast. So the curves by themselves don't necessarily help if it's a wide road.
Yeah.
And it's horrible, really, to drive on. Matter of fact, I think that might be something we look at in the future to make it one lane and maybe put in, you know, bike lanes or, you know, some other something. And then the question is, on Stuckey Avenue, obviously this is going to be the gateway, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what's the plans to improve not just the road, but the aesthetics of that area? I mean, you've got with tall barbed wire fences and not a great visual coming into the park if that's going to be the main entrance into the park.
Yeah. Stuckey is, I think, going to be one of the segments of this project that's going to get the most attention from the community as a whole. And it's going to be this dynamic between perceptions of how to make it much more attractive, but also retaining the neighborhood feel and housing options that are available in that quarter. You know, there's a lot of multifamily housing on there. We're holding back a little bit because we haven't done the technical analysis on what the roadway improvements will need yet. So once we get that completed from a completely just technical, what's the traffic, what's the prediction for the traffic, how safety, speeds, things like that. How much right-of-way will we need to accomplish that goal of the project? And then once we know that, does the road need to be two lanes? Does it need to be four lanes? The technical traffic analysis will drive that, and then we'll present that to our board, and they'll give us feedback on it. That's when I think we'll start to really get into that push and pull of the multifamily housing and the impacts to the residents that are on there now. Another thing that we're working on staying abreast of is the city of Tallahassee is doing a neighborhood plan, an update to the Providence neighborhood plan. And I think that update will help to will help us with making those decisions over the next year, because then we'll know, what does the neighborhood want? You know, what do they want for Levy? What do they want for Stuckey? And that'll also help with that dynamic for Stuckey. But it's going to be exciting. We've been digging into understanding what is affordable housing, attending seminars, and learning a whole heck of a lot more about it. How does infrastructure help to address housing needs through access to transit, multimodal opportunities, and maybe every family doesn't have to have two cars, maybe just one, and help with housing costs. You know, so indirectly, how does infrastructure impact housing choices? So A and I have been digging into that, particularly A. So that's been good too. We're the home front community that's on there, the veterans housing, that's a long lead. If they will be required to move, there will need a lot of time to be able to find a new location. So we've been staying in touch with them as well. And what are your views on Stuckey? I'd love to hear.
Comments related to Stuckey?
Yeah.
Okay.
So the north part, that side of Stuckey, to me, if that's part of the Providence neighborhood, well, it's only slightly. I mean, isn't that just a sliver between the track, the railroad tracks and the street?
Yeah, in some cases it's two lots deep. In most cases it's one lot deep to the railroad track.
And that's the part that to me looks like it needs to look much better. Mm-hmm. And almost regarding that as perhaps a separate kind of thing. It could still be multifamily, but it might need some attractive walls or separation or something. And then, because it's, if I'm recalling correctly, it's very different from the other side of the street, which is single family homes, I think.
Yeah, until you get closer to Imonia. On the south side of Stuckey, there's a really large multifamily complex there.
Okay.
But as you're at Lake Bradford, it is. It's more single family. It's where the community garden is, too.
Right, yeah. Right. And then my other question is there a projection of how much property you think you may have to acquire, either for right-of-way or for whatever reason, in order to make all this happen, or is that yet to be determined?
We could do it just based on a typical section for a two-lane or a four-lane, just making some assumptions. It's a little bit dangerous to put that out there with right-of-way position.
Yeah.
We want to wait until we get the traffic analysis done to be able to put forward some type of needs analysis of right-of-way. And then, you know, is that what makes sense from an operation standpoint? Is that a right north side of the road, right side of the road? Is it a combination with a meander in the road, you know? So, yeah.
And I guess this is my last question, and this is maybe sort of a question for Ron. Where is our main entrance going to be? Or are there going to be two of them?
Well, I think that's part of what they were talking about is... I think that's to be determined.
Okay. And well, obviously, we don't know that yet, so that's a whole different.
Work on. I mean, it's. I don't think we have a main entrance. It's.
Well, that's my problem. Yeah. I don't think we do either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't think we want just one.
Right, but I think we do want at least one, if you know what I mean.
At least one main.
One main, right?
Yeah, I just, you know what I'm saying. We are not visible enough from any direction.
Yeah, I mean, right now I would say it's either going to have to be at Potsdam or Levy. I mean, Levy's probably makes the most sense because Potsdamer's not really coming directly into the park.
Right. Well, I think one would be, what do you want to see when you come from the airport? The mm-hmm. other is, what do you want to see when you come from downtown? To me. And that's probably two different things.
Those are good points, Dave.
Yeah, Florida State came out early on and made a pretty large commitment to financing some of that. Is that commitment still in place? Is it non-conditional? Is it go out the length of this project, or mm-hmm. was there a pullback in there somewhere?
No, not at all. Still, the commitment is just the same as it was back in 2018 when the amendment was created for the project. It was a $2 million cash contribution to the project, as well as the right-of-way that would be needed for the project. Primarily, the right-of-way is, of course, where the new road will be constructed through the Southwest Campus. But they also have property on South Lake Bradford Road, so if there's right-of-way that's needed along there, they've also committed to providing that. And maintenance, as a matter of fact, too. They will be maintaining the landscape and the sidewalks on the new road through campus as well.
FSU will,
which is a
huge
benefit.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Eric?
Thank you. Commissioner Dozier.
Thank you. Good presentation. Thank you both. Before I make another comment, I got to take this opportunity. This gap communication piece, Autumn and Zach first started this, from my perspective at least, in a neighborhood on Appalachia Parkway, and this has really evolved in recent years as we've come towards Blueprint 2020, and I'm really glad to hear that feedback, because this was the first time I've heard you articulate that approach in a new presentation or in this way, you know, since we've talked about it so much. And it just, I think it's going to resonate with others the same way it did here. So just forgive me for that. But seeing these things, you know, in conversation for a long time, that's a nice, you know, and a nice
feels
way to
right.
introduce it.
It feels,
yes.
It feels right. Yeah.
It's what you've been doing anyhow. It's just kind of memorialized now, and I think that will help. So jumping off that, going to Stuckey and Levy particularly, in my conversations, particularly with Providence Neighborhood, some with Callan, and this is going back years, but also met with the Providence Neighborhood Association president recently, I've seen kind of an evolution. I think there was a group from Providence that was taking on a tour of the Mag Lab, and they really feel like there's starting to be a stronger connection, like they're not just a pass-through neighborhood. Got some investment from CRA many years ago, but we're still looking at 4-foot sidewalks right on the curb. There's safety issues. So, and Anne, I'm not picking on your comments. I really understand where you're coming from with the aesthetics on Stuckey and everything. From Blueprint Board, Blueprint perspective, and from what I'm hearing, I think we're going to need to approach this. This is just me talking, but from a win-win situation.
Oh, yeah.
Are we? And I know that's not what you were saying. That's why I wanted to. Yeah. And this is what could be perceived as picking on part, which I'm not. A wall separating a lower-income apartment complex from a newly improved road. That could be a perception issue. There could be some challenges with that. I understand the if we look at opportunities like widening the sidewalks and bike lanes and green space, or changing a chain link fence to something nicer, that could really lift up some areas of the neighborhood and give the aesthetic improvement that we would want for an entry point. So I assume that's going to be a goal in the conversation mm-hmm. with the neighborhoods. I think that's something we should be sensitive to as well, because this partnership with the neighborhoods is really taking on a new life, and that's exciting. So you do have some challenge. I mean, Homefront with the Veterans Service, I served on that board for a while. Just to get funding to maintain a place like that is a struggle before we even consider moving something. So there's going to be other questions there. So would that be the only kind of question or suggestion, Autumn and Ron? You were saying where's our entrance, maybe Levy or Potsdamer. It may be the new road versus Potsdamer. I don't know if you were speaking to what happens in the interim before the roads are constructed or what happens after that. But did try to start a conversation with, it's the Baptist Church, Jerusalem Missionary on the corner of Levy.
Mm-hmm.
This was years ago about maybe, some of you may remember this, doing helping them improve their signage and getting an Innovation Park sign out on Lake Bradford. Because all of our signs are beyond the neighborhood. So I think doing something that maybe identifying the neighborhood and Innovation Park at Lake Bradford, whether it's Stuckey or Levy, might be just an interesting opportunity if you're branding the neighborhoods,
mm-hmm.
identifying those. I think that would help the park to have signage out on the road. But I agree that one entrance from airport and one entrance from downtown, kind of identifying those two pieces. And I know I'm talking a lot, but the last thing I'll say is I challenge all of you, use your Google Maps and the time next time you go to the airport. I started doing this when we started the public meetings. Spring Hill is the faster route, and that was completely different than everything I had been trained by my parents for my entire life. And my gut feeling on this is that we're going to see Stuckey, the new road, those areas be really more commercial, Innovation Park, neighborhood-driven, and Spring Hill, Lake Bradford really be the gateway to the airport going forward. But yeah, it's a shorter time. It's amazing. So we just don't instinctively do it.
So other questions or comments? Well, I will close with thank you so much for the presentation. We will actually be moving into a retreat later this year as well, actually targeting April.
Awesome.
So please do, if there are things that we need to put on that radar that you'd like for us to be engaged in, or maybe we'll reach back out to you to see where you all are as well, please know that that is happening. But thank you for a great presentation.
Yeah, we'd be happy to do just a 10-minute update.
Oh, absolutely. Count is done. Yes, absolutely.
And then we may have a consultant on board. Yeah. And the neighborhood cities plan, I think, will be a little further on.
Excellent. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you.
So we'll jump back onto the agenda, and we have item 8, the OEB Elevate Fund Grant Agreement.
Michael, you want to talk about these next two items? Yeah, the first one's the OED.
And they're both action items. Mm-hmm.
So there was a grant opportunity that I applied for at OED focusing on an accelerator for SBIR training. It's similar to the FAST grant application, which we did not get. And we shortened it a bit to address what OED was looking for. And as a result of that grant opportunity, we were awarded a $25,000 grant to proceed with an accelerator for SBIR, STTRs. So happy to have...
Michael.
I'm sorry. Happy to have received that. Right now, we're in the final stages of penning out the contract.
No, this is actually the approval of
your approval of the grant. And I'm sorry, I don't know what the second one is.
We'll take it one at a time. So again, in your packet is a receipt of an award that's been provided by way of OEB. Board would have to accept approval of it. It's a continuation of what we already have in place. So I would entertain a motion and or questions.
Absolutely.
Okay. Second. Okay. So it's been proper motion and second. Any discussion? Okay. We'll move forward with a vote on it. All those in favor, please acknowledge with the sign aye. Opposition? Motion carries. Okay. We're going to transition to Domi Station.
MOU.
So back in September, we were part of an application for a grant with Domi on what's called a Growth Accelerator Fund grant out of SBA to also do SBIR training. It is a single workshop component of, I guess it's one segment or module of a 10-module program that they're putting together. We'll be providing the SBIR-specific module, which is one of the 10, in the form of a workshop. And in consideration for that presentation and, well, building the module and the presentation of the module, We're anticipating a $15,000 grant, if you will, towards that effort. That was back in September. What we've come now, finally gotten an MOU from them, and I guess the vote is to accept that.
Move staff recommendation.
Absolutely. Is there a second?
A second.
Okay.
Was I rambling?
Oh, we're going to get you there.
Just
That's
a little.
Thank you.
I'm on a mission now to speed this up.
Absolutely. Is there a proper motion and second? All those in favor acknowledge aye.
Aye.
Opposition? No. Motion carries. So airport marketing opportunity, Ron, this is exciting. Okay.
Yes, that's going to be the new airport.
Well, that's beautiful.
International
we all
arrivals.
Like it. Yeah.
Sorry, I was reading St. Martin. right over the beach.
So I was contacted by David Pollard, the airport director, about an opportunity to use some space at the airport to help market Innovation Park and all the great things that are going on here. Currently, there are two spaces that are being used. One is for FAMU and the other is for TMH. As well, as you can see, the Danfoss area up in the ceiling, and they've got a, down below, they've got a little, over here, a little demo of their product.
Compressor.
Yeah, their product.
Yeah, the compressor.
So there's just a little more close-up of that. This is the FAMU space. What I like about this space is it's got the it's got a couple of work spaces here for seating for four, and then other places that you can plug in and work back there. It's kind of it's more of a functional space. The only thing I don't like about this space is it doesn't have any sort of marquee out here, as you'll see with TMH. So as you're going down the hallway, it really sort of stands out. This, I think TMH, they've done a little bit there, but not a lot. It's just, it's not very impressive when you go in there. But they have some interactive things in there for kids, and apparently something that you jump up and down on to get your heart rate up. Or I didn't do that. This is the space that's available. It is, you can see the gift shop over here. Most of you are familiar, I'm sure. Right next to the vending machines, and then so this is the space. This is, and I've got another layout I can show you, but it's right across from I think where the future international arrivals will be. That's what they were telling me. I think this is also, if I'm not mistaken, the TCC logo. So they have three logos in there: one for FSU, then TCC, then FAMU, and I think FAMU is right in front of their space. So it's those are the dimensions, about 610 square feet. So there's the layout. So you got the gift shop, the gift shop and the vending machines, and then that space right there. And I think this is where the international arrivals is going to be, either here or there. So what they're offering us is a no-cost pilot period for 180 days. Up to two consecutive extension periods of 180 days each at no cost. But the big kicker is that it's subject to availability, so if they get an offer from someone that wants a space, then after that first 180 days, we'd have to get out. I'm assuming, anyway, this would be all to be worked out in the lease, and David's been very great to work with. He's going to be as flexible as he can be. But I think once we renew, I think that six-month period basically is secured, but at each renewal, then I think they could kick us out. And then after that 18-month period, we would, it says after the entry lease agreement, but I think we'd enter the lease agreement, but then the extension after that would be at market rate, which currently is $56.33 a square foot. Wish I could get that. But he's willing to work with us on terms. He thinks he can do something in terms of escalating, the rent over a period of time. I asked about the possibility of a right of first refusal, so that once we make our investment in the space, we at least would have the option to extend the lease if he got another offer. He said the FAA frowns on that. So we're basically going to have to take some risk on the investment. But those are actually some of the considerations is you know, what's our build-out budget versus the length of the commitment. So, you know, we spend a bunch of money in there and then have to be out in 6 months. And then I took Kristen Roberts from the Mag Lab with me. She's their communications person, and she loves it. Because I just think that we're going to have to partner with, or we'll want to partner with all of the organizations in the park, or a large number of them, and have them all contribute something into the space. And if we're in there long enough, I think there'll be opportunity to sort of rotate out some exhibits. But the general thought is that we put something very interactive in, not just you know, put stuff on the walls, but you know, true exhibits that demonstrate what we're doing up here. So obviously some thoughts going to have to go into the layout and the design, and we're going to have to move relatively quickly to do that. So the other part of this is, you know, how are we going to pay for it? Are we going to be able to get some of the other organizations to pony up? And that was the first thing Kristen said, is we don't have any money for this. Kristen Roberts. So there's going to be some work to try to figure out how to pay for it. And I apologize, I just got this. We just went out there late last week, and we're still getting information together. But I wanted to get this to you and just get your thoughts on where we're headed with this. But in order to secure the space, we have to provide them with a draft layout, a lease agreement. I think David will work with us on the timing of that. But they'll do a let us do a coming soon banner. Mm-hmm. So even before we build it out, we can get our logo up there. And then I've got to start working with the other groups to try to figure out how to pull all that together, especially since my marketing person's starting Monday.
So you got our first project.
That's our first project.
Yeah.
Assuming you all want to move forward with that, but that's it.
Most definitely.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. So there is, for the action item of moving forward with that, is there a second?
Second.
Okay, is there a conversation, question, discussion?
forgive me for stepping out for a second. Mm-hmm. Just chatting about it. So you may have said this up front, or I'm going to look at the mayor for this. There have been phenomenal improvements. I know International's coming in. You mentioned that someone else could lease the space. Is the remodeling in that area, that walkway, pretty much done? So this space is not going to see a lot of other impact from remodeling or construction in the next few years? Is that your sense of it?
Yeah, I would say the next few years.
Yes. I know David's got a bigger plan on down inside the terminal, everything like that, the next few years.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the second question, again, I got to look to you, Mr. Mayor, is I really like this. My impression is the art exhibit, working with COCA or other, that has been restarted, I should say, out there. Is there any thought from the city airport perspective of having community events? I mean, that's tricky with FAA and everything like that. I know you do it for the art opening, but I just wondered, I mean, it's a good thing for visitors coming in and for residents who fly, but are there any other ideas that you all are thinking about to have people out at the airport?
And we do, at the observation deck on the second floor that overlooks the runway.
Okay.
It's a beautiful space.
So that's right. Yeah. We've had meetings down there before for CRT.
Yeah, we have community events and stuff.
Right, so yeah. You're bringing other people out there. I share all the concerns that you mentioned just about the lease and other things, but there's a little, this is not to bring up anything bad, but there's a little tinge here of Brogan Museum and the interactive science stuff that was coming back to mind, and there's so many things from HPMI to Mag Lab that could be really interesting. So
yeah, and that's going to be the key, is how we get all these people together, and maybe even the College of Engineering, maybe they can help us build stuff or, you know, whatever. But again, this is very early in the process, and I've got to get people.
Yeah, so I guess the structure is just to get the direction to move forward and exploring it further. So we have the motion. Did you have a comment?
Well, what a question.
Actually, what I'd like to do is say, go ahead and do the 6 month. Let's go ahead and start that process. See if we can. If we can make it 180 days, or at least get the plan going, find out what it's going to cost. And then I think the only thing I'll have to come back is, you know, obviously an expenditure of funds, unless you want to give me a blank check or
I'm not sure, but we certainly go forward with the motion.
Before Dave, can I clarify something?
I didn't literally mean to.
Does the 180 days start when we say go, or is it after you give the design layout and get an agreement with David? That could take you just a little.
Yeah, I think it's going to be when we get the agreement.
Yeah, okay.
But he's going to want that basic layout to move forward.
Yeah, that's my thought.
I've walked past that space the number of times I've looked at the FAMU space, I guess I'd call it. I saw the one next door to it. I always wondered, why did FSU maybe not pick up that space? And I don't know, Eric, if you know the answer to that, but FSU must have many times been approached to take it up and made the decision not to, and I'm wondering if we know why.
I have no information about that.
Okay. So we have the motion and second on the floor. Are there other questions, comments?
I think I may have to spend some money to get to a plan, so I want at least some permission to spend some funds. Because it's clearly not in the budget, which would be a requirement.
What do you estimate?
Well, sorry, I just got this. I haven't even looked at it. I don't know. Is 5,000, 10,000?
I was going to add, your cap on executive director expenditures is 5 or 10. Is that right?
It's 10,000.
It's 10,000. So that's within that pocket. Yeah. I would be, if you need any other checks, you can go to exec or you can go to the chair just to discuss things, but I think you'd be doing that anyhow.
Yes.
So, I would not be
concerned. You made the motion, so you're accepting. Okay. And you had a comment or a question?
I think I heard this, but even with what we're getting ready to vote on, there's nothing that we are committed to yet. Mm-hmm. This is just exploring.
I just want permission to move forward with the free 6 month period.
In taking the free space, there's nothing we're committing to. That's my question.
Beyond the 6 months?
Correct.
No, we're not.
Okay.
I just need to spend money to get the space renovated.
Yeah.
And if it's 10,000, that would include some renovation money in there.
I'm just saying, if we do it for 6 months and it's a big old bust, that we're not committed to do it anymore.
Correct.
Absolutely.
And then every 6 months thereafter,
right,
we can reevaluate or get kicked out.
Okay.
Are you of the belief that the 10,000 would get us moved in?
I have no idea. I need some buffer. I'm going to spend, I'll be reasonable with the 10,000. I'm not just going to go out and spend 10 because I got 10.
And perhaps we'll have stakeholders too here in the park that will be willing to do this. So.
And that's what I want to explore is how can we pull all of that together? Who's willing to participate and how?
I think it's a great idea. I will say that my take many, many years going through the airport is that those are very tough spaces. I haven't seen it work for anybody, frankly.
From retail or?
Anything. They're long, they're narrow, somebody's going to have to work really hard to make it. And I'm not saying it can't, but they've always just looked kind of provisional and weird and,
Commissioner.
To that point, and I think you've got an opportunity here. I appreciate you bringing it forward to look exactly opposite of the spaces, there's not much more. I like FAMU space. It looks really comfortable out there. But if I'm going to go, I'm going to get through TSA, and I'm going to sit down on the other side. I'm not going to sit in that space necessarily.
I don't see anybody sitting in the space.
But a space that has an interactive magnet experiment or something like that. I'm making it up. Here's my limit of science. But that's something that I could see people walking through and spending 5 or 10 minutes. So maybe that's part of the conversation. I'm sure you're already there, Ron, to have with the others is what is interactive and exciting for people that they could do in 5 to 15 minutes? Because they may not stop for much longer. I'm not sure those spaces really attract a huge crowd unless we have people waiting for hours there, which, we got to get more airlines, everything else in the first place, except for this could be a unique option. So. The art, people see the art all the time.
Yep.
That does attract people.
Yeah. And David Pollard does have data on the dwell times in those areas.
Dwell times.
Ooh,
now we know.
And the big draw there is when people are waiting for flights for the meters and the greeters, as he puts it.
Yes.
He says those are the people that you will get mostly.
That's right.
And they can't really put any retail out there, for what he was telling me. Not that they can't, but it's not attractive to put retail out there because most people are going to go through security to buy stuff. But and it looks like that space has been vacant for quite some time. So I don't know that we'll get pushed out in 6 months.
Okay, so it sounds like we are there, but we have a motion and second on the floor.
I just want some clarification on this.
Sure.
So the motion on the floor is that we are authorizing Ron to move forward with entering into a lease agreement, and then we're going to come back and figure out the cost and the investment?
He's actually going to be doing that in tandem. He is doing that, and the research, required research, he has authorization and authority up to his current level of $10,000 when proposing it, but he is primarily, at this juncture, going to be looking at the planning. He does have our buy-in for the 180 days, realizing that if the investment costs more than $10,000, then he has to come back to this body.
But we are entering into a lease agreement. For at least 180 days.
A no-cost lease agreement that if we're not able to pull it off, then it doesn't happen either. He has $10,000 that we planned with, but not that anything has happened. Okay. Yeah.
Well, since we're talking about putting $10,000 into it, is there any opportunity to expand that 180 days to 360?
Yes. So that's what...
I'm talking about the initial.
Out of the gate, no. It's 6 months, no cost. At the end of 6 months, if there's anyone else interested, then we'll have to get out.
Is there any opportunity to negotiate with David to take that 180-day first lease to 360 instead of 180 with options? And I'm thinking of how much we're spending, and I'm thinking of the payback, and I think if we spent that kind of money and 6 months later we were kicked out, that would have been a poor decision on our part, I think. So I'm wondering to expand that or protect us for that investment a little longer if we would be able to negotiate with him not a 180-day initial lease, but a 360-day initial lease.
I think just weighing the pros and cons, what I'm thinking about on David's side of it, I'm like, okay, if I give you 360, what would be the urgency to move out on it to see if it's going to be a possibility, and then we have the space locked up for a year of nothingness, and he wants it to have something. So, but I do get your point that we need to be...
Well, he's probably been sitting on that vacant space for several years. So there's not been a rush to get into that.
I appreciate David's creativity to offer... Yeah. 180, the partnership, he's been out here several times, so I think I see some effort on his part to get creative with the space.
I like it.
So, maybe, and check me on this, Ron, but if you were to get into this and say, David, we've got an amazing plan, it's going to cost us 15, I don't think my board is going to spend that much without getting a little bit more than 180, I think that's a next step conversation. If we have a plan that he's excited about, we're excited about, our partners are, and then we can kind of reflect on that. If it's a design concept and under 10 for going forward, it feels like that's kind of the right place to be in. But would that be fair that if we got something really cool and it's going to be a little bit more, we can talk with David about this? And
I don't know what latitude he has, and that's why I'd asked for the right of first refusal, because I wanted the right to extend it if we did put a lot of money into it, but he's saying he can't do that. I don't know what his constraints are in terms of, what he's allowed to do and not do. All I can tell you is he's trying to work with us as best as he can. He really wants us out there. He's, as you heard from his conversation with us, he really wants that partnership. But all I can do is ask. I don't really have any leverage in the deal. So is there a number? Okay, if 10,000 is too much for 6 months, what investment would you be okay with for 6 months?
You said 10 is too much?
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing. Is that
I'm comfortable with 10. Yeah.
When you think about marketing, I mean, $10,000 is for a six-month period. I mean,
the rent on the space, the market rate rent is $34,000 a year.
$2,863 a month.
That's our ceiling is 10. Yeah. It may not be that much. We may have public or private partners that can help. That's just the ceiling that you can go to, which is in line with our policy, right?
Yes.
So. And again, because you said it's new information for you, I mean, you're still going to be doing some fact-finding.
Yes.
We just want to get you to the point that you're able to carry it out and move forward for information, okay? Other questions?
Yeah, Ron, why are you going to spend 10 grand?
I don't know. But there's design work.
What's the end goal? What's the end goal? It's exposure for the park, right?
Yes.
So are we going to get exposure just by people passing through in the dwelling 5 to 10 minutes? I think you should think a little bit more creative. I'll tell you what. If I was in your spot, this is what I'd do. You got free space for 180 days. You want to get good exposure. Tristan's absolutely right. Nobody that's flying out is going to stop there. That's why FAMU, respectfully, is empty. Nobody stops and does work there. They go through TSA, they set up, then they do their work there. So anybody that's coming in FAMU is somebody that needs a more comfortable place to sit than out in the...
Mm-hmm. While they're waiting for
people to come. Why don't you try something different and very low cost, I bet. Try to bring out a new group of people to the airport, which David would find beneficial, and at the end of 180 days, it could really work, but also bring attention to what you're doing. Here's what I would think, what I would do. You have a building here that's basically empty. All of these buildings filled with desks and chairs. Why don't you set up a lecture series type environment out there and invite your professors and your business owners and all the cool stuff that's here to give free lectures? Or even have the College of Engineering maybe host a class out there. How cool would that be if you're a student to go have a class at the airport? Talk to Ollie, your continuing education for our more senior members of the community. You're bringing people out to the airport. Airport will work with you on the parking. I mean, we can arrange for them to park for free, so you're not paying. But you set up a lecture series that's basically sponsored by Innovation Park. Use the resources that we have to attract people to come out and use the space. And then if another idea comes along, great, then you can keep incorporating and start spending money that way. Kristen's right. I'm hesitant about another Mary Brogan Museum out there at the airport that nobody jumps in. You got to actually nail it for it to work, or I'm afraid that we might spend $5,000 to $10,000 for some type of exhibit where people hang out for 5 minutes. And are we getting the bang for the buck? Is my question.
So, Mayor, do you mean like create a mini venue?
I would.
Kind of.
Yeah,
look, we just approved an MOU with Domi Station. Domi's got incredible speakers, almost a lecture series, that you can have speakers come out. Bring the Domi people out to our space so we get the advertising, but it's also bringing people to the airport. Talk to the College of Engineering. I know a couple of professors that would love to teach a class. Maybe one of your engineering classes that deals with aeronautical engineering out at the airport. That can also mix it. I mean, not just a one-off, but see if we can arrange something that continuously brings people out in a different type of venue besides food, retail, or just passive sitting space. I just encourage you to get creative with the space. I mean, we're having a hard time, you know, finding our budget to maintain this area, the park, before we spend another 10 grand out there on build-outs and everything else. Do we have physical assets that we can take out there? Does the airport, were they willing to put assets into it as well? How can you maximize the space, get the exposure that we want by being out there at minimal cost?
Chris.
Okay, well, first.
I don't think we'll solve this today either.
No.
Yeah.
Just ideas.
But we got a couple minutes here. I mean, this is, we got to get into reports. You made the motion, so. What you just suggested, I wouldn't support the motion. And here's why. Two reasons. One, our Tech Topic program, which it has been very successful over the years. Correct me if I'm wrong. It's been a few meetings since I've been there, but it's an interested crowd. We haven't really expanded that crowd as much. But there are actually different subjects get different crowds coming out. I will say that. We're still trying to get people to remember where Innovation Park is.
Mm-hmm.
We've invested in a great classroom space here. To start to move some of those lectures, some of that classroom to the airport, I think waters down the efforts that we have been making and still continue to make to get people to this park. People got to know what's out here so they can be talking about it and everything like that. Secondly, I'm glad you mentioned parking, but that was on my mind as a challenge. The third piece, though, is I may have said it incorrectly. I was actually mentioning the Brogan. I said it might be a bad memory. Not to say that the type of things that were at the Brogan that were interactive, and if you step that up a notch, and it has a tie to research being done at the Mag Lab or engineering or wherever, I actually think this is a better venue for those kind of interactive displays than what we might have had at the Brogan. I mean, there were challenges there.
Yeah.
Real quick.
Okay.
I think legislators walking by, seeing an interactive space, even if they didn't stop. We've got a high-tech atmosphere that rivals Gainesville or Orlando or Miami or any place else, but people don't think about when they come in. One of Steve Evans' comments for the last 10 years has been people fly in, they're driven to FSU, they're driven to FAMU and Mag Lab, and they're driven right back to the airport. We've got to capture them at some point. I think this is a way that we could start to remind people and capture that attention, but it's got to be some bells and whistles. If there's a group of people meeting in a classroom, I don't think it stands out to them, and I don't think that's necessarily marketing for us any more than what we're already trying to do at the park. Does that was more my perspective. So,
got it. Also keep in mind, as a chairman of the Airport Advisory Committee myself, there are other groups that are doing kid activities. KCCI is going to develop some of the space as well as an interactive children's play. So
okay.
I wouldn't concentrate too much on being just the children's interactive. That's going to be going on out there anyway. We need to create our own thing moving forward too.
And just to be clear, Brogan was just the example of the interactive. A step up is something cool for Mad Lab that's for adults and kids. But maybe this is a point where we should know what else is happening out there instead of making the decision in a vacuum. Is there anything else like KCCI?
What's that?
Is there anything else like KCCI that we should know about that may play into the decision?
These type of conversations are going on with a lot of different people in the community. And you have first right of refusal of this space. If we said no, there's a long list behind that David will go to the next. You're first. The other spaces that are vacant as well, we have identified, well, let's approach so-and-so for this space. Let's approach Innovation Park for this space. Let's approach so-and-so for this space. Let's approach this business for this space. So this isn't a one-off. We're at the top of the list.
Is David going to be willing to share that information with Ron as he goes into design concepts so that we don't overlap with something someone else is doing?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's no big secret.
That's good insight. Dave?
As many times as I've been in and out of that airport, lots of them, I've never seen a single person in the FAMU rest area, I guess I'd call it. For $10,000, a return on investment, I don't know what the return on investment is. The bulk of the people are either rushing to get through the line to get into the gate, or they're rushing to get to their luggage.
Mm-hmm.
There are a few people, as we identified, that are waiting for somebody to get off the plane. I don't know what $10,000 buys us for just 180 days. So unless we could take it to 360, I'm not comfortable with it.
The comment that I'll offer, and it sounds like we may need to revisit with the motion, but we are asking about visibility. Yeah, we're disturbed about visibility to some degree. So I get the $10,000. I do get the $10,000, but I think it's important that if we either want to be visible or we don't want to be visible. If he needs direction on that, the $10,000, honestly, it could come by way of partners. The partners that we have out, we may not spend a dime, but what's going to be the direction? We have the motion that was put forward. We have a second on it, authorizing the direction that Ron would have for the planning up to $10,000. Are we now seeking that he would come back to us with that plan before dollars are spent with the two or three proposals?
Yeah.
And then which would get us at a more comfortable level that would speak to proposed ROI from any investment. Okay, will you accept that?
If he comes back before we spend any money,
if we don't,
I'll support it.
Yeah, I thought that was staff recommendation anyway. You didn't bring us back before we signed anything.
That was not the motion.
Outside of a 180-day lease agreement that we're signed.
Right.
And up to 10K.
So why not, my understanding is I can spend up to 10,000 and I can do the move forward with the first 180 days.
Yeah, no, I'll change the motion.
Because I don't spend any money.
Okay. Bring back a plan and we'll adjust.
I don't know how much latitude I have with David in terms of how long I have to make a commitment.
No, I wouldn't spend any money at this point. I'd bring back a plan.
And you feel comfortable in your other hat that we're good.
No, I'm not hearing that.
Okay.
But, I mean, if Ron goes back to David and says the board wants a plan first, we can't move forward, you're saying there's a list of other people.
Absolutely.
David could move forward with someone else, and if they take him up on a generous offer, it may happen before we circle back to a board meeting.
Folks, we're all friends in this community. If Ron goes to David and says, hey, my board wants to see a plan before we spend money, give us a little bit more time, David's going to say, no problem. If we come back with a hard stop, there's a list.
Okay.
All right? This isn't a hardcore business deal. Nobody's going to...
Yeah.
Bring back a plan.
Is there a second to that with the first meeting?
I will second.
Okay. Any further conversation or questions?
So the first motion was withdrawn?
It's withdrawn.
Hey, look, though, as the maker of the motion, I'll tell you, if it isn't knocking my socks off and dynamic, I'm not going to support it, because when we look at the priorities of the park, if it's spending $10,000 out there or supporting our programming that we have here, we're going to have to make some tough choices on prioritization. Mm-hmm. So I want a dynamic program, Ron, that knocks my socks off whatever it is out there for exposure.
Well, I would say having the ability to give this to the new person who may have some new ideas kind of makes sense to me. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we have a motion on the floor. Very robust conversation.
Melissa had a... It sounded like the motion was only to authorize Ron to move forward with developing a plan. Does he need money authorized
to make the plan,
or is that just assumed within your $10,000 budget?
$10,000 is gone.
Yeah. It sounds like the concept itself, developing the concept, and then sharing if it's, you know, option A or B, presenting that, and then having the board put a voice on it.
The concept is very different than a plan.
Yeah. Don't spend any money. Just come back and give us, hey, this is what my vision is for this space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And through my rough estimates of this is what I think it's going to cost. Yeah.
Okay.
I think I understand.
So, let's call the question. So, all those in favor of that motion, please acknowledge the sign. Opposition, none. Praise the Lord. Okay, we will move forward to the next item. Item number 11, year-end financial review. Ron, it should be less exciting.
Yeah. I was going to say something like that. I just got the numbers this morning from the auditors, so this is the preliminary audited numbers. So this does include the GASB 68 information, which tends to distort things a little bit, in my opinion. But the current assets, you can see, we're at about 3.9 million. Where our normal cash and designated cash and equivalents are usually around 4. The big change is this prepaid expense. You'll see is down $77,000. That has to do with the capitalizing the trail construction costs. Other assets, you can see that the big change here is obviously in the capital assets, I broke it down on the right there. You can see we spent $166,000 on Collins, $21,000 on furniture and fixtures for Collins. $69,000 that got capitalized for the trail, and Morgan Restrooms $15,000. So this was we spent a lot of money this past year, but all much needed stuff. So the net, back out the accumulated depreciation, and that's the big change there. And then you see the pension, the deferred outflow of resources. That's what I was talking about when I talk about GASB 68. That just has to do with timing of the FRS. And all that data comes to us from FRS. current liabilities increased by $26,000, mostly just because we did a lot of our renovation stuff right near the end of the year. So all of that flowed through there. And again, you see the $225,000 is our allocated share of the FRS liability. It's, to me, it only becomes an issue if FRS goes bankrupt. And I think that's what we got to pony up. And right now they're 85% funded, I think. So pretty good shape. And again, that's another, that deferred inflow is another component of that. And so you see our net position decreased by $206,000. Again, mostly related to, in large part because of the pension liability. Change in net position. So this actually breaks that down. You can see leases increased by $68,000, mostly because of the IT services lease, which is not continuing at this point, but at that point we had realized that extra income. Other income, there was some timing in terms of when we received part of a FAMU grant. We got it $11,000 at the end of 2018 that we didn't get in 2019. The others, salary expenses. Michael was only a partial year in 2018. It was a full year in 2019. The other expenses is the operating expenses, basically operating the buildings. We had some major expenses in the FIPS. We had to paint the FIPS building, and these are all lease required expenditures. So FIPS was $20,000. HVAC was up $24,000. Park services $24,000. A large part of the HVAC was related to this building because it really hadn't had any attention. And so once we moved in, we stressed all the systems and had to do a lot of work on those. So you see the interest income was up $30,000, mostly because interest rates were up. So the change in that position was down $206,000. I don't think I need to go through all of this so much. This is accrual basis cash flow, which is hard for most people who don't see this every day to get to. But what I did is I went back and show you the revenue variances. This is before GASB 68, so you don't have any of that muddy in the waters. But this was in your treasurer's report a couple of months ago, and this has not changed. So we were $108,000 better in revenue, and that breaks down to $87,000 in rent and $31,000 in interest income. Again, this is compared to budget. So compared to budget, we were really good on revenue. On the expenses, operating expenses, we were $3,600 over budget. I tried. But you can see there the the components of all of that. So utilities was a pretty big hit because of the increased revenue that we got from IT services. So you got to kind of consider that we did spend more money on utilities, janitorial services, those sort of expenses related to IT services. So the net we're still $105,000 positive. Any questions? We're still working on the audit. Hopefully we'll have that finalized next week and get the audit committee meeting scheduled next month. And that will have something for the board to ratify at the April meeting.
Okay. Would you propose back to me some dates so we can
Peggy's going to be working on that.
All right, good.
I was trying to get this information to know how much longer it was going to take to finish up because I still have to do all the footnotes and all that.
Thank you.
Early on, the audit looks good.
Yeah, no issues.
Good.
Thank you, Richard.
At least none that they've shared with me. Maybe they're, holding me back, springing on us at the meeting. I don't know.
Okay, so thank you for your work on that. And Dave, thank you for chairing that committee. Chair's report, fairly straightforward. We're going to target the strategic planning session in April to coincide with our existing board meeting date. Topics that have been brought forward to date, Mayor presented one relative to the university planning and making sure that the collaboration's there. We wanted to talk about the remaining land. Should the juggernaut project move forward? Also wanted to talk about the implications of the EDA grant. If there are other topics that you all would like to consider speakers, then certainly please share that. And now let's move quickly into our staff report, the transition.
Well, So at that meeting, will we have a perhaps 3-year forecast of financial results at the strategic planning meeting?
A 3-year forecast?
Plan on at the front end. I'd like to see at the front end of that meeting a 3-year review of our proposed financial position.
Forecast, 3-year forecast.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Madam Chair.
Yes, sir. Okay. Absolutely. Staff reports.
Okay. Project Juggernaut. Really, nothing has moved forward from since the last meeting.
Okay.
I think they're waiting for a response from the company.
Okay.
On the EDA grant.
Excuse me on that. Have you had any success with FSU renegotiating their proposal to us?
That's the next one.
That's the next
one. Are you going to get to it down there then?
Yeah.
All right. Just want to make sure.
Well,
you said no changes, so we addressed it up there. I want to make sure we address it again.
No changes in Juggernaut.
But Juggernaut
didn't
have anything to do with.
I'm sorry. I'm on the wrong one. I'm on the next one.
Okay, and for Juggernaut.
Can you refresh my memory on how long we have to hear something on Juggernaut?
I think it's going to be relatively quickly. I think by the end I think it's the end of the month.
Okay. I just couldn't remember.
The company had deadlines to go into their corporate conversation into the selection criteria, or competition, rather.
So they got that information the first of the month. So, right after, actually, it was the same day we met last. So I thought, from my recollection, it was 30 days for them to do the evaluation. So whether or not they stick to that, I don't know.
Their motivation was to move quickly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Their intent was.
And Juggernaut is very sensitive to this discussion being in the open. So just everybody be aware of that.
Yeah.
Okay.
On the EDA grant update, so we received a further consideration letter, which I mentioned at the last meeting. We responded to that with 15 out of the 16 items that they had requested. Thanks to Melissa, she did a great job of answering several of the legal opinions that we needed to provide. We did have to spend a little money on doing some searches.
Oh, title search.
Title search.
A litigation search.
Mm-hmm. But other than that, it looks very good. The last item is the commitment letter from FSU. And so we are working on the language with that. Gary and I had a phone call with Greg Bidet from the EDA, and I think we finally have clarity on what they need and what Gary's willing to provide. And so hopefully when he gets back from vacation, I assume it's vacation, which is next week after next. I think it's week after next, but
well, certainly by then, but probably before.
Yeah. Okay. So he's gonna give us the letter, and then the big hang up, which I don't know if I mentioned, was the approvals required by the Board of Trustees and also by the Research Foundation. He thinks he can move that along after he gives the letter. He can go ahead and start the process of getting that approved.
Time for that?
I'm sorry?
Time?
He spoke. They don't meet again until April, the Board of Trustees, but he thinks he can do it by email. That's the way I understood. So once he gets back, then we'll get that process moving. So I didn't know they could do that. But.
And Greg was fine with that?
Yes.
Okay.
So the big thing is that we need a firm commitment.
Right.
And in order to get a firm commitment with this new requirement, the new legal requirements of funding anything over $2 million, he's actually got to go through the process.
Yeah.
But it all sounds good. The way Greg talks, we're not still waiting to be evaluated. It's just get us the information. There is another phase, and I think I had mentioned, I thought at the end of March, and what he actually said, I think at the time was, a couple of months, and that was when we were talking February. I'm thinking in March. Mm-hmm. No, he says it could be longer. There's no actual.
Okay.
So, but it could be June. Mm-hmm. He threw that out there, but again, they just don't commit to anything. But there is a, I'm sorry, one last thing.
No, sure.
There's also, I'm told, a due diligence phase. I thought that's what we were doing, but there is another set of steps that we have to go through once it's selected.
Yeah, absolutely. Commissioner Dozier.
I feel like I'm tossing comments back and forth from the Planning Council Board and this board. So our Planning Council Board meeting, they were talking about the revolving loan fund application, which was a partnership with OEV. They got the same, what did you call it, the letter?
Further consideration.
Further consideration. They got the same letter of further consideration for the revolving loan fund. By the way, that could help entrepreneurs in Leon County a good bit. And there were some similar questions by ARPC board. So I made the comment that Innovation Park was hearing the same, and that was helpful to them. So I just wanted to share that with you, that we're at the same time frame now with this other big request. The second thing I learned at the meeting, though, is this is part of the disaster supplemental. Planning Council has been working with other counties to hone in on their EDA grant applications for a while. So you've said in the past, Ron, and this is coming from Greg to us, that we had to get in really early because last time we were kind of at the end of the process and there wasn't as much money left for IRMA. We got in so early, there are applications being turned in this month. Within the next, you know, the next week or two. Our meeting was last Thursday, so they had kind of targeted a couple weeks, likely smaller dollar projects and others, but if that helped at all, I just wanted to share it with you all that we really did get in way ahead of the game. So I hope that gives us some comfort.
Well, that's the caveat.
Through the process, there's going to be money available. So.
He still provides the caveat. It's in the letter. They always say if there's still money left.
Yeah. They have to. Yeah.
So we're pushing to that end, and thank you, Ron, on that. And then the director of marketing.
So I have I made an offer. She accepted. She's going through our due diligence process, and she starts Monday. So we have one last step. We're waiting to hear the results from unless she's on drugs, I think we're okay.
What's her name again?
Her name is Naomi Molina. Uh-huh. She currently works for WFSU. She's the membership coordinator. She's been there for 4 years. She has a BA in Media Communication Studies from FSU and an MA in Integrated Marketing and Management Communication with a certificate in Project Management from FSU. She graduated there in December of 2012. And she also does a little catering on the occasional catering event on the weekend, so she knows how to do events.
Sounds like we need all of her skills.
Yeah. So she has a pretty good track record. I spoke with her current supervisor, which is unusual to get the opportunity to do that. Mm-hmm. And while she was sad, very very sad to see her go, she said she's a good bet, and she's leaving because she wants to grow. So.
And yet another person who has depth of knowledge about another partner out here.
Yes.
It's not a bad thing there.
Yeah. Yeah, this is, and she's not, you know, going to have to learn how to get here. She's already, you know, and she does already have some contacts in the community here. So I think we're going to be, especially in the College of Engineering. So.
Very good. What about the 501c3? Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes. Yeah, a quick question.
Sure.
Let me go back one subject.
Sure.
On the EDA, have they announced any awards yet? Or do they even do that?
I looked last week and I have not seen a single award under Michael.
I haven't
heard of any other. So we could really be right at the leading edge.
Yeah, they don't typically put it out there until you get through. It's one thing to get a notification of an award, but to get through the whole process, we were still seeing on the previous one, right, where they haven't technically awarded all the funds.
Mm-hmm. The last one that was listed for IRMA was November of 19. Mm. So they haven't announced anything even for the rest of IRMA.
But all the funds that were allocated for that have not been awarded.
We're told they're gone. They just haven't been publicly.
They don't show up on the public
announced
list
until all these things happen.
So I'm going to jump ahead to the really optimistic comment. Just keep in mind, when we get this award, the EDA secretary will come down. I mean,
yes,
this will be an enormous event. Their fanfare, they'll have close hold on the press release, on everything else. They'll drive the train on that, but we will, everybody's going to know, you know, at some point,
yeah.
But you're going to get a close hold communication at some point,
okay.
To say, yeah,
yep.
That they can start the planning of the announcement.
Okay.
That's what's typical, right?
Yep,
yeah,
that's exactly how it
unless
happens.
We hear before the strategic planning meeting, you guys are going to have to come up with two different strategic plans.
Yeah.
One if not.
Well,
that's yeah, look at there.
As far as the 501c3 goes, I did make a first pass through it before I went on vacation, and there's a heck of a lot more I need to get. So there are agreements, sample agreements we have to provide, not just samples, but approved, you know, the leases between entities, all of that stuff. So I'm still working on that. I did just finally deal with the tax issues, because we actually have to file tax returns now,
yeah.
Which is new for us. So I actually extended the federal return for 6 months. There's no state return, fortunately. As far as the tech grant goes, so we're in that process. We've had the orientation meeting. We had about four show up, not a lot, but I've had a lot of other email inquiries about it. So hopefully we'll start seeing those come in. Those are due March, I want to say 3rd. So the first few days of March, and then we'll go through the scoring process, get it down to our five finalists, and then move forward with the event. And again, be grateful to get my marketing person in on Monday so she can start working on that. So we'll have her do another push to try to remind people to get their applications in.
Right.
And that's all I have.
Okay, and then Mike, you'll talk to us about where we are with the lab and the apartments there.
So I've provided a report that has a metrics in it, but what I wanted to do was highlight a couple of things that are maybe outside of your report, talking about what's been going on with not only the lab, but the whole marketing effort and prospecting. So as far as North Florida Innovation Labs, we have one virtual member in New Energy who signed up in February. There's two new prospects that came through recently. One's called Microsystems, another's called Access Biotechnology. Those also want to be virtual. The reason for that is they want to have some assistance with the SBIR, SDTR program until they get the award like everyone else. There's seven companies that I'm working with now that have expressed interest in becoming full members with offices once they get their awards in SBIR or SDTRs. So it's a long process, but it's starting to pay off a little bit. And getting a couple of virtuals at least gives us membership.
And is that paying, I'm sorry, is that at the existing rate? I mean, not, okay.
Mm-hmm. And if I could just add, again, just a reminder, that's why we're doing this with the SBIR, CTR mm-hmm. in advance of, so assuming we get the EDA grant, is that because there is a bit of a runway to get, for these people to get money,
mm-hmm.
that hopefully this pays off in the future.
And I will say that four of the seven
mm-hmm.
applicants under the new NSF three-page project pitch have received favorable emails saying to go forward with a full-blown application. So things are looking...
That's great.
Yeah.
What is a virtual member, though?
They're not physically located here. They just
but what do they get? They talk to you, they...
Yeah, they get the coaching, they get the grant assistance, they get a recognition on the website. I'll give you an example. I'm taking one of the companies out to Doolittle Institute next Tuesday to meet with four people from the those counties' electrical utilities to talk about control systems at Doolittle. So that's one of the things.
So you do have personal interaction with these people. It's not just on the phone or whatever.
Yeah, well, one of them just happened last night, and he's out of Georgia. And I just asked him why he's interested, and he just sent me a long response. I know we're not here for a long time to listen to these kind of things, but he says, I said, what are you? He's a biotech consultancy and research and development firm. And I said, what do you want from us? And he said affiliate membership would support our efforts in pursuing government grants and contracts and provide a presence in the Tallahassee region with the anticipation of transforming into full membership at the lab as we do research and development.
And the fee is?
That's right.
The monthly fee for that?
It's $100.
Save that quote. Mm-hmm. That's the pipeline. That's what we've always been looking for.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And now that we can all say SBIR, STTR in like a sing-song fashion, you taught us well. I said it the other day and someone said, what? And I'm like, wow, I'm saying it as fast as Michael.
Can you explain what it is?
A little bit. A little bit.
All you have to remember is $3.7 billion available.
This is...
annually.
You've been making these steps for 2 years. I mean, this is incredible. And this is the runway. So... just to get contact from Georgia, I mean, this is a missing link between UF, and we keep talking about that, but that quote proves it.
How did he find you?
Yeah.
So actually, he was referred to me by a professor at FAMU who is thinking about taking a lab space.
That's awesome.
Here. So.
That's fantastic.
Cool.
This is what
yeah, this is how it's yeah. going to start. It's yeah. just if we all are patient enough, we'll... eventually it'll start kicking
we
in.
We had some demand when we did the study years ago, but we didn't have a place for them, so, yeah.
Right. One of the other things we've been doing is holding as many meetings as we can. Here, we had a Chamber Grow Business Committee meeting. We had a student invention commercialization meeting that the Joint College of Engineering put on. We did a Jim Moran College of Entrepreneurship meeting. A class was done here, enough to be dangerous. By the way, one of the students in that class is applying for the tech grant soon, which was really good. That was Jeff Whalen's class. And then we're having a MagLab task force meeting here in this room on the 19th. So now that will expose us to more people in that regard. We talked, and I won't repeat, the SBIR grants that we received. So now it's up to 70,000 with three different organizations. There's a postcard that Denise and I developed prior to her leaving. The postcard's been distributed to a few folks so far, including the class that was here. But the idea behind this postcard is to act as a leave behind to lawyers, CPAs, bankers, SBDC folks, anyone who is the frontline people and talking with entrepreneurs, service providers that entrepreneurs go to. So we have this leave behind, excuse me, trying to find speaking engagements. I've worked with the chamber, sent a bunch of emails out to the point people for the various events that they do, got limited responses. A couple have said they're interested and then they disappeared. They're also helping me to get in front of the hospital administrators to talk to the physicians, so that's kind of cool. I did an SBIR workshop out at the Florida Business Innovation Association Conference in Jacksonville. As a result, now they want me to do them around the state, which I'm probably not going to do because I don't have the travel budget, but I'm starting to get recognized for that activity. Also did a specific one for an SBIR workshop for the FSU Office of Commercialization, their whole staff, where we really dug down deep on how it could assist professorial and student businesses. Let's see. In publicity, we got the newspaper to publish an opinion that I wrote, which had some favorable responses of the No Prospects. We do electronic media pushes, email, LinkedIn newsletter. That'll pick up again Monday when the new person comes in. Yesterday, I met with Randy Atwood of the Democrat and proposed something that Kristen and I proposed to the previous editor at the Democrat. And now she wants to
fantastic, Michael.
Write.
Sorry,
she wants me to write articles on technology, which is pretty cool. It's going to start off as a monthly article, and it's going to feature Innovation Park technologies that are happening within the park. And then she also talked to me about writing a special feature, something called maybe Tech Tidbits. The other one I'm preliminarily naming Who Knew. And so I just learned of something new while we were talking, but who knew that we're actually performing in the Olympics out of this park here and winning. I just found that out. Tech Day at the Capitol Trade Show booth coming up February 19th. We'll be displaying there. Deep Dark Secret that no one should know, but now that it's public on the recording, it's rumored that Porsche will be unveiling their new electric vehicle at that event. It's supposed to be a big secret, but I just blew it. I'm looking into doing some advertising on the WFSU public radio. Mike Campbell mentioned that as the primary way he gets people to come to his programs at the Jim Moran Institute, so we'll look into that. I also asked my colleagues at the conference in Jacksonville what they do. A couple of interesting things. Mark Long at UF does the Third Thursday, which is free alcohol and music with no PowerPoints or speeches. Don't know how that's going to go over well here, but another thing they mentioned is providing fully furnished turnkey offices. I've always not done that because I end up being a furniture mover, but he said people want to just look in the door, see everything arranged, and move right in without having to do all that, so I'll talk to Ron about that. An inviting lobby, free coffee, and then something he called 5x500, which is too much detail to talk about now. Also thinking about doing a survey, well, doing surveys for persona companies that are a likely target audience. So talking to the New Energies and the Corey Bio and say, what do you guys read? What do you listen to? Because I got to reach those people, and I just don't know how. I've been beating my head about that. And then you heard about the airport marketing. So those are the marketing efforts. SBDC, I'm sorry, SBIR is starting to pay off. That's the one I see a lot of activity
on. So, Michael, for the 10 that you showed as contingent, or these were prospects?
Seven.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Six for October, four for November, oh, and one for January's for 11. Or are they carryovers?
Those are total prospects. What I meant was the SBIR, the ones that are waiting your SBIRs, are seven of them.
Okay. So I just wanted to know for the 11 that I see on the report, asking how are we, I guess, continually nurturing those kinds of relationships so hopefully at some point they would then transition and be a part of what we're doing here.
Yeah, so I keep track of all that in the spreadsheet that I didn't
bring. The communication back.
I think I printed and forgot to bring in, but I'm communicating with them. And the last contact was either last month or this month with each of them, and I track that first contact, last contact, results.
Keith, is there any synergy between what you're doing and what Michael is doing?
We don't really get into the SBIR stuff.
Or referrals or any?
Yeah, and we've interacted and made some referrals. So we do share some clients.
Yes, absolutely, Dave.
Mm-hmm. Michael, this group that came together, and I'm not sure the name of it, but it was basically around the idea of magnetism. I think Dan Foss was in it, Steve Evans, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. What's the newest things that's happening with them? Is anything new on the horizon? Did they end up hiring? I thought I heard they hired a person. What's happened with it?
So the only thing that I could say with any authority is, yes, they hired someone. It was a former engineer at a Dan Foss that segued into the position vacated by the science person they had previous to that. So that's OEV specific. He is going to be assigned to the MagLab task force. His name's Kevin. And so that's one plus. And then coming up, I've only been to two meetings, so I don't have anything to report because the meeting which will be held here will be on the 19th. And I'll have a better idea of how that pipeline's looking because I usually do a report on what company ROI is providing for leads for them in the funnel and then how many visits we get as a result of that. So I'll get an update coming up. We didn't have one during December, and we had a very quick phone call in January. So this will be the first meeting of the year.
Okay. But that was a big step, was getting that person hired.
Yeah.
That's what we've all been waiting for, and obviously you know about that. But
mm-hmm. Kevin.
So that's the business development person, and this Michael and I have met with them, and we've started to have that conversation. But his big focus is on the manufacturing side.
Mm-hmm.
And that ties right back into our agreement with OEV vis-a-vis Juggernaut and the recruitment and working with them. This is the resources they're bringing to the table.
Yes. Okay.
We've been back here quiet and calm, and this is all corner. Excitement, I tell you. Probably glad you're not a part of it, but
that's
yeah, yeah. Well, let's talk about what you have on the property.
Well, besides, you know, repairs and
The greatest thing I have to report is that FSU paid their outstanding balance for CAM of $44,757.92. So we have that money
the
now.
Cash, yeah, the cash was getting a little low there.
So I have confirmed that they have paid that amount. So that's my biggest thing to report for you guys.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Things have slowed down a little bit since the we got this building open. This took a lot of their resources.
Yeah, it did. A lot of hours and blood, sweat, and tears from Ron and our maintenance person especially.
Manager, you two can defer to strategic planning discussion for this, but Morgan, we're still looking at the problem child, kind of the vacant space. I know we've had short-term leases and stuff. Should we just kick that to the April discussion?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. I have had a couple of inquiries. And I also had NWRDC requested a 5-year extension, which is unusual for us to go out that far. But I think they know that they can't expand their current building and that this is their best option is to stay in Morgan. So that's a good thing. But but we have had an inquiry from FSU about getting some space for something, but I'm not, from what I've heard preliminarily, I don't think it fits what we are trying to do out here. But I'm waiting to get more information.
Thank you. Any new business? We're all talked out. If that's the case, then we'll move to adjournment.